And welcome to But Is It?
The podcast where we have thoughts.
We have opinions.
We have questions.
I'm Beth.
I'm Tracy.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of But Is It?
From Palm Springs.
Live from Palm Springs. Well, not live for you people.
Live for us right now. And live for the super loud people in the hotel with us.
I know. So you might hear some ambient noise. So apologies. We are in our Palm Springs hotel in at Margaritaville.
Yes. We came out in honor of this episode.
Yes. We traveled through the desert.
Literally. In Beth's new Subaru, Queen of the Desert.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's what I'm going to call her now. Subaru, Queen of the Desert.
I love it. Yeah. So we decided that a road trip, two road trip movies about three drag queens on road trips deserved a road trip from us.
Yeah. But I didn't.
To see drag brunch.
Yes. But I didn't want to travel across the whole damn country. So.
No, thank you.
We just went from, you know, coastal California to Palm Springs.
Also, like, coastal California to desert California. But, like, we don't have time for a road trip across the country either. Like,
yeah,
no. Who has time for that?
Dry queens. So, yeah. So, we are have a special double episode because we are going to be talking about two incredible movies.
Yes.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
And Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
All right.
So, more commonly referred to as Tu Wong Fu.
Yes. So let's just get down to it.
Yeah.
So Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, also advertised as Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, was released in 1994. It actually debuted at the Cannes Film Festival. Production was by Polygram Film Entertainment and Specific Films and distribution by Roadshow Film Distributors. It was directed and written by Stephen Elliott, produced by Al Clark and Michael Hamlin. And it was starring Terrence Stamp, Hugo Weaving, Guy Pearce, and Bill Hunter. And the movie is about Tick, a Sydney-based drag queen performing as Mitzi, and who accepts a job to perform at his estranged wife's hotel. And he convinces his friends and fellow drag queens Bernadette and Adam, performing as Felicia, to join him. They journey through the Australian desert aboard a bus christened Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. As they journey through the remote lands, they encounter homophobic abuse and violence, ultimately meeting a mechanic, Bob, who helps them get their broken bus to the hotel. Once there, they learn that in addition to having a wife, Tick also has a young son. It's available to rent on Amazon Prime and other services.
Yeah.
But it's not streaming for free, as far as I could find.
I think it is, but on, like, because it was streaming for free on, like, because I have a Roku, and I found it on Roku and a couple of others, like, this weird, like, Freevee and Tubi and, like, something like that. So it is some places for free, but not, like, the very, not, like, the common ones.
I paid $3.99 to rent it on Amazon.
I forgot. I first saw it at my friend's house. Shout out Vincent, if you're listening, which you better be listening. But I saw it at my friend Vincent's house. He had like a, just like a drag night. We just had like drag night and we were watching like Priscilla and ordering pizza. And there's this whole like ridiculous story. So it was like me and Vincent and a couple of our other friends. And we all came, like, very drag-esque. Mm-hmm. And Vincent was there in, like, full drag, of course. And it's important to note that the other people at the party, which was, like, four of us, were cis women. And so we were all, like, drag-esque, you know? But, like, we don't.
Yes.
Yeah. And Vincent was in full drag, like, this white, platinum, I mean, I think it was just, like, white, like, 20s curl bob wig. I don't even know if it's like a bob, but it was like those pin curl, you know what I mean? Like it was very like curls and this like this robe that looked like it was made out of a tapestry. Like that's the only way I can describe it. It was just this like anyway. And so we ordered pizza and this guy is coming up the stairs and we're like, "Oh my god, the pizza's here." And like cuz at the apartment that he lived in, the stairwell, like you couldn't anyway, you could leave the front door open and not be like exposed to the world. Mm-hmm. It's just exposed to the stairwell. And we hear the pizza guy coming up, and Vincent's like, in full drag, he's like, is that my pizza? And the guy comes up and he's like, hi, ma'am. And Vincent, like, is full on, like, 5 o'clock shadow. Like, we're just, you know, we're goofing around. It's just, like, us having, like, a drag party. But, and, you know, he basically just, like, throws the pizza at Vincent. Vincent hands him the money because it's back in the...
Before you actually paid for it online.
Yeah. Well, it was, like, pre... I think it was, like, pre-iPhone. But it was definitely, like, pre-Grubhub, Postmates, whatever. And the guy, like, kind of, like... throws the pizza at Vincent. And Vincent hands him the money and he's like, thank you, ma'am. And Vincent's like, keep the change. And then we watched Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And yeah, but that was my first and I think only time watching Priscilla. Mm-hmm. Because I did not watch it in preparation for this. Because every time I went to go watch it, it was like I had to gear up for, like, a couple of the scenes that we'll talk about later. And I just didn't have the spoons. And so then we got to Palm Springs and I was like, oh, my God, I never watched Priscilla. But I've seen it and I, you know, refreshed my memory with some clips and things like that.
Yeah.
But.
I really need to start texting my sister before we do these episodes. Mm-hmm. Because I am, like, 90% sure I saw it with her. All of these movies, Hedwig, Priscilla, Tu Wong Fu, these are all movies that she introduced to me.
Yeah.
Even, like, back to, like, Hairspray, you know, all of those. Those are all, like, things that she introduced to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm 90% sure it was when I visited her. So my sister moved in with our mom in Colorado when we were teenagers. So she lived in Colorado. Mm-hmm. I lived in Washington with our dad. Mm-hmm. And so I would go and visit in the summer. And so it was one of those, like, summer trips mm-hmm. where she, like, introduced me to, like, we probably one summer I watched all of these, you know, mm-hmm. types of movies. So we watched Priscilla. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure I've seen it again since then, like, maybe bits and pieces of it. But I have definitely seen... the stage production that toured because it came to the local Performing Arts Center, mm-hmm. Segerstrom. And so I definitely had tickets. It was when I had season tickets. So mm-hmm. I've definitely seen that too. And it's similar. Obviously, they like toned down a lot of the racism. Mm-hmm. So I've seen it. And then, of course, I just watched it, you know, in preparation for this. So
a student. That's an ace student. Yeah. So the other film we're talking about today is Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. It was released in 1995, and it was produced by Universal Pictures and Amblin Entertainment, and it was distributed by Universal Pictures. It was directed by Beben Kidron, written by Douglas Carter Bean, produced by G. Mack Brown, and it starred Wesley Snipes, Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo, and Stalker Channing. All right. The summary is, after tying to win New York City's Drag Queen of the Year contest, Noxzema Jackson and Vita Boheme win a trip to Hollywood to compete in the Miss Drag Queen of America pageant. They decide to take along inexperienced Chichi Rodriguez as their protege, dubbing her a drag princess, and teach her how to become a drag queen. While driving across the country, they are pulled over by Sheriff Dollard. I almost said Dullard.
I might have typed Dullard.
You know, you typed dollar, but I just was like, I just wanted to, you know. More on that later. Who assaults Vita, and they knock him unconscious and flee, thinking him dead. Their car breaks down, and they end up in the nearby town of Snydersville, where they are stranded while their car is fixed by the local mechanic, Virgil. While there, they befriend the members of the town, helping bring a little fabulousness to the women, as well as protect the B&B owner, Carol Ann, who is abused by her husband. Virgil. One Virgil. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. You can watch it on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, YouTube, etc. Or if you are like me, you have it on DVD.
Yes. Same.
Yeah.
Although I did... You know what? I bought it. I rented it on Amazon even though I own it on DVD. But the reason why is so that I could watch it in different places and not just on my living room television.
It. Yeah. No, I get that.
Because I did not need to watch it. I didn't need to sit and watch it again. Mm-hmm. Because this is one, again, I definitely saw it one summer visiting my sister.
Yeah.
Where she showed it to me. But this is one that I have then gotten to, like, rewatch. Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you how many times. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I couldn't even guess how many times I've seen it. It's, like, Clueless. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, like, every year, every couple years, like, it's just like, oh, I haven't watched it in a while. I'm going to pop it in. Or if it's on TV, like, it's like, yeah, I'll watch that.
Yeah. This is another one of those that I feel like I watched in the theater on my military base high school life of, like, going to the movies every Friday and Saturday because there was nothing else to do. I mean, there were a billion other things to do. I don't know why we thought there was nothing else to do. But we went to the movies all the time in those couple of years.
Yeah.
I think this is one that I saw there, or it's one we rented and all watched together. Because I also remember renting it. So I feel like we saw it in the theater, but I definitely remember watching it, like, on my TV that in the house that we lived in when I was in the high school. You know what I mean? So, questions.
Right.
Of when I saw it. But I feel like we saw it in the theater. But yeah, so our question is, Priscilla and Tu Wong Fu were released around the same time and portray three drag queens traveling cross-country, but do they tell the same story? And I think in a lot of ways they do, right? They tell this story of these three queens, like, traveling and experiencing all of the, like, homophobia certain parts of the country have to offer, right?
Well, and both, like, the, you know, Tu Wong Fu starts in New York and Priscilla starts in Sydney, where they're in, like, more of these, like, metropolitan areas that tends to be more accepting and of, you know, drag queens and LGBTQIA in general, a little more, you know, progressive mindset, things like that, and then portrays them traveling across, you know, for Tu Wong Fu traveling across the United States, for Priscilla traveling across Australia and encountering these, like, pockets of, you know, small town, you know, what stereotypically gets, you know, termed as more less progressive, more prejudiced, less open-minded.
Which is so funny. We've talked about this with small towns before.
And that's in a note of mine about Schitt's Creek.
And it's, like, that idea of, like, small towns might be this way, but are they this way because we portray them this way? Or, like, is that the way that it is because of how they are portrayed in media? Or are they really that way?
Yes. You know?
And in some places, yes, they really are that way, right? But, like, also, they're not all that
way.
I don't think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't been to every single
town. I think when we dig in, like, I think that's in Tu Wong Fu, we really see that. Mm-hmm. They are not all like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, but I think that's where the similarity ends, right? Is, like, big city people in small town, like, city mouse, country mouse, you know, fish out of water, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, kind of stories. But beyond that, I think that they're very different.
Yes.
You know, I think that the problems of, I think that there are problems in each of them, but.
Yeah.
You know, the problems of Priscilla are not the same as the problems of
Tu Wong Fu. Yes. And, like, let's, in context, like, also, like, some of the problem, then there's the problematic things that happen particularly in Priscilla, like, context, this is the mid-90s.
Yeah.
You know, we used terms we wouldn't accept today.
Yeah.
We portrayed characters in a way we wouldn't accept today.
Mm-hmm.
At least not in the same way.
I mean, like, we still kind of accept it, but yeah.
Yeah. Fewer people accept it.
Yeah. I think it's a way that we wouldn't see so vulgarly.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't know if that's the right, if that's a word even, but, you know, especially when I'm really thinking about Cynthia and the mullet.
Mm-hmm.
And
In Priscilla,
Queen of, yeah. There's, and if you haven't seen it yet, and this is by no means a reason to not watch it. Like, I still think it's a fantastic film.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's really important, especially in, like, queer culture, and I can't say that from, you know, an inside perspective, but from my perspective, like, this is one of the movies that did shape the world, right? It did change how we view queerness, and it changed it for Australia. You know, and I think that that's really important too, because the United States is not the owner of movies and filmmaking and television and culture. Like, and that's something that I think is also really important to note. But anyway, it's like, I think that Cynthia is this mail order bride character, who this guy Bob, the mm-hmm. mechanic,
So they actually there's a small scene that you probably it probably wasn't in a clip that you rewatched.
Yeah.
But he met her. And then they woke. Yeah. They slept. They got drunk. Slept together. Woke up in a hotel room, and she's like, "We're married. You're taking me home now."
Yeah.
Because I think she thought that he was from Sydney, wealthy, mm-hmm. and she was. Which
and
again,
he's
like,
from, that's out from this small town.
Yes. Yeah. And so he ends up taking mm-hmm. her to his little outback town. Yeah.
And anyway, the premise is though that they're married, and she's now that they're married and now that they're here in this small town, she's turned into this shrew who loves to just like embarrass him publicly, and her untamed sexuality is like run wild, and she does this strip show where she shoots ping pong balls out of her vagina, and it's like, and the pinnacle of it all is that she's Asian. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the scenes that I had a really hard time with, like thinking about coming back and watching this.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's that like post-Vietnam stereotypical way of looking at Asian women, and even pre-Vietnam probably too, but like this idea that we're gold diggers, that we're coming here to like get out of whatever country we're in, and that also that Asian females are like hypersexual, like if you, but only for like their, you know, and it's just really, and it's this idea that, you know, she can't be doing this.
Yes.
Because it wasn't the idea that she was like, because the premise really wasn't that she was like up there performing and being degraded, not by her choice.
Oh no, right? He was trying to lock her in the house.
He was trying to lock her in the house.
To keep her from performing.
To keep her from doing it. I mean, the idea that, you know, Asian women are out there stripping and shooting ping pong balls out of their vagina and doing all this fetish shit is like, is part of the problem of like, you know, Orientalism and all these other things. But mm-hmm. in this particular time, it is kind of flipped, which I think is kind of interesting, but it's like this idea that like, how dare you do this? You're my wife.
Yeah.
And it's like, well.
He's like embarrassed by mm-hmm. it.
And
she's like, I just want to perform.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a very, like Cynthia's character is very fetishized. It's very stereotypical. Mm-hmm. It's very one-dimensional, and it is very, it's problematic.
Yeah.
And it. You know, and then I think in the other areas, there's like they encounter an Aborigine group, mm-hmm. Australian Aboriginal.
Yeah.
I had it written down to make sure I said the term correctly, but I think I wrote it down somewhere else. That's so like me. I know exactly where I wrote it down on a post-it note on my desk at home, thinking like, because I didn't have my notebook next to me, thinking mm-hmm. like, I need to take this post-it so I can transcribe it into my notebook. I 100% forgot to do that.
Yeah.
Anyways, but it also portrayed them as very like, you know, not intelligent, very mm-hmm. like just silly, and you know, it did a great job of portraying queerness. It did not do a great job of portraying like women and minority races.
Yeah. Yes. And the other scene that I had a hard time with in watching the clips that I totally even forgot about, mm-hmm. except for the fabulous flip-flop dress.
Oh my God, the flip-flop dress.
There's a scene in one of these small town bars where the three queens go in. I was just thinking of like these three kings.
kings of Oriental.
Where, you know, Mitzi, Felicia, and Bernadette go into a bar, mm-hmm. and they're just trying to order a drink. And this really, like, butch-looking woman, it's the only woman in the bar, mm-hmm. and she comes up and she's like, there's nothing for you kind of people. Like, I can't remember exactly what she said, but there's nothing, like, for you people here. Like, we don't serve your kind, basically. And, you know, and Bernadette like grabs her hand and says like some sassy like,
"Listen up, you mullet."
Yeah, and like, oh, and says something about like, "Light your tampon on fire, and
it's the only bang you're gonna
get. Let it explode in your vagina, and that's the only bang you're gonna get." And like, and then the whole bar's laughing at Mullet, mm-hmm. which I don't know what her actual name is.
I think they mention it at some point because then eventually Bernadette and Mullet are like having a drinking contest and Bernadette like a
weird,
wins.
Weird string of events, right?
I know.
But my problem with that too is like, why is it the woman? Because yeah. in 100% of the time, it's going to be one of the men.
Yeah.
And
well, and it just there's three women that basically have.
Lines.
Like lines and have an actual role somewhere yeah. in the film.
Mm-hmm.
There's Cynthia, who we already, you know, have talked mm-hmm. about, Mullet, mm-hmm. and then Tick slash Mitzi's wife,
mm-hmm.
Who we see at the end of the film.
Yeah.
Who she's fine. There, no notes there.
Yeah.
But like, so like of the three, two are like stereotypical, negative. Like mm-hmm. it's just.
Yeah. It's just, it. So for me, Priscilla. And this quote probably sums it up a little bit better, but like for me, it's hard in that as amazing as it is about being celebratory of like gay men and trans culture
mm-hmm.
or trans, you know, just identity and existence. It's at the it's sometimes at the expense
yeah.
of women and people of color.
Yes,
and. There's a couple of links that I'll put in the show notes that mm-hmm. I found, but, there's this quote that I want to share, and it says, commenters on existing gay communities and gay culture at large have pointed, and this is from 2014, so times have still evolved, this is 10 yeah. years ago, right? Commenters on existing gay communities and gay culture at large have pointed out its overwhelming, and this is about Priscilla, not Tu Wongfu,
mm-hmm.
its overwhelming whiteness. That is, gay communities and cultures are mostly defined by white men enjoying the company of other white men seeking to their rights of marriage, equality, and social equity. While this is a longer dialogue to be had elsewhere, it is important to see that the film Priscilla is no different from other gay films, air quotes, that continued to marginalize other races despite these queers facing their own stigma and shame throughout the course of their journey. And I think that this is one very key difference between Priscilla and Tu Wongfu.
Yes.
Is that I don't think Tu Wongfu... race is very not talked about really at all in the film. And it's also three actors all of different races.
Exactly, yes.
You know, so anyway...
No, I know, and I agree, and I made the same kind of notes and everything. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about the three drag queens in Priscilla,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of
mm-hmm.
talk about the three drag queens in Tu Wongfu.
Yes,
because I definitely agree, and like obviously we're always we're critical of the work that we talk about because that's mm-hmm. that's why we're doing this.
Yeah,
but I also want to still you know remind and point out like I do still think that this was a very important film for. You know, the queer community, for yeah. drag queens, for trans, just like you said, there were obviously problematic elements. And mm-hmm. I understand that this movie was not made for women. It wasn't made for people. You know
no.
what I mean? This
it wasn't was made for us.
For them. And yeah. I totally get that. And I don't want to take that away.
No, absolutely. And yeah. I'm not at
no,
all.
No, yeah, I'm not yeah. saying you are.
Oh, no, I'm agreeing yeah. with you. But yeah. yeah, and I'm just telling everyone at home
yes.
or in the car or, so, like, you know, on the treadmill.
Like, with a caveat.
Yeah,
you know?
Like this is still... completely important. This is still like mm-hmm. both of these films completely important, need like must watch if you're expanding your education in queer culture.
Yes.
Right.
But like take this one in particular with kind of that grain of salt
mm-hmm.
that you're going to see some other
yeah, just know you're going to bump on some things probably.
Yes.
That 1995 us is may right. not this may is not have bumped
this
on.
This is not an incredibly intersectional film.
No.
This is, it's telling one story.
Yeah.
And maybe that's where these two films really differ in, like, what story are they telling?
Mm-hmm.
This is telling one story.
Yeah.
But I do love the range of drag queens that we see
mm-hmm.
in, like, how they just live their life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bernie in particular, who is a trans woman, transitioning, mm-hmm. taking hormones.
Yeah.
You know, very different and obviously still performs in drag, but is mm-hmm. also transitioning into a woman as
yeah.
a, you know. So, not into a woman, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The correct term... Anyways.
Yes.
Felicia, on the other hand, Felicia slash Adam, still lives, you know, performs in drag, has a drag persona, still lives as a very flamboyant gay man,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then that's kind of his, her slash him's,
his, yeah.
his, when he's Adam, her, yeah. when she's, you know, And then you have Tick, which is, you know, he previously married man who in adulthood, you know, realized mm-hmm. and came out and determined, like, yes, I am, you know, I think I'm a gay man. It sounds like, you know, and there's little parts in the movie where he's like, are you bi? Are you mm-hmm. gay? Are you straight? And it's like, well, I don't know yet. I'm still figuring it out, mm-hmm. you know, who again has this drag persona. And so it's like to see this like range, like when you see like drag queen, it's like it doesn't mean one thing. Mm-mm. And, you know, and that's why like, and I struggle sometimes because, again, I don't want to use incorrect pronouns. Mm-hmm. But you do have a lot of these drag queens that, you know, still live as a man and then mm-hmm. perform. Some of them live as a woman 24/7 because they are a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, it's so like, there's a lot of intersectionality in and of itself within the queer community.
I was just going to say there is that difference too in Priscilla and Tuong Fu. In Priscilla, you know, Tick and Adam live as men mm-hmm. who perform in drag.
Yeah.
And Vida, Noxie, and Chi-Chi
all live as women.
Live as women, mm-hmm. seemingly.
Yes.
Through this adventure that they're on.
Yeah.
So.
So, I mean, I kind of want to give Priscilla, like, that kind of credit in, like, showing this, like, range mm-hmm. of, like, what it is to be a drag queen and who drag queens are yeah. as individuals.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that about it a mm-hmm. lot. But then to your point, too, like, when you see the three in Tuong Fu, I also appreciated it. Yes, they all three kind of, I think, portray kind of the same, I don't know how to say it, the same type of drag queen mm-hmm. who, you know, have a drag persona, but also live as that persona, mm-hmm. you know, all their life. Mm-hmm. My assumption based on conversations that they had in the film is that these particular drag queens are not trans women. Mm-hmm. Like even like when they're saying like, what is a drag? It's a gay man.
Yeah. When a gay man with too much style for one gender puts on a dress, he is a drag queen.
What is it? When a gay man has too much fashion sense for one agenda, he is a drag queen. I have so many quotes but written
I
down.
But I love like the whole rest of it too. Like, right. Mm-hmm. It's like when a straight man puts on a dress, he is a transvestite or like,
he's
you know,
transsexual.
But and then there's like all these, yes. It's just interesting. And it's very 90s still, but it's yes. like, you know, he is a transsexual. If something, 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 you know.
Yes.
And
so helpful. But
he is a boy in a dress. You are a boy in a dress.
Mm-hmm. When a tired little Latin boy puts on a dress, he's merely like, a boy in a dress. But what I did love about it is, like, again, conversely from Priscilla, you have these three very diverse, you know, men playing these roles. So you have Patrick Swayze, who is a white man, mm-hmm. Wesley Snipes, a black man, and then John Leguizamo, who is Colombian.
Yeah.
So you have this, like, range, and I think the way they portray, like, race... Mm-hmm. as part of, like, those layers and intersectionality of, you know, queerness, I really appreciated that and liked that in this yeah. film in particular. Because, again, it's telling a much different story. And, like, to your point, the movie was never about race. It does... It only addresses it in the scene with Sheriff Dullard.
Yeah.
Because he uses racial slurs for yeah. both, yeah. you know, Chi-Chi and Noxzema.
Yeah. And it does, like, in little ways in other like, just comments, right? Yeah. Where it'll be like... Why is the white lady always telling the black lady and the Latin lady what to do? You know right. what I mean? Or things like that. But it's not about overcoming
yes.
something.
Yeah.
And the town where they go to, it is mostly white. There is a black man.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be the only person of color in the town.
Oh, yeah.
But that also might be representative of the town that we're trying to talk about, right? Yes. Like, what does the middle of America look like?
Right.
You know, and I think it's a lot more diverse probably than the movie portrays it.
Yeah.
But I think it's that 90s, like, ooh, this yeah. is how it is in small town yeah. USA, you know?
And like, even, like, the way the three of them talk to each other, like, yeah. they do, like, especially Noxzema, mm-hmm. like, kind of talks to Chi-Chi mm-hmm. in, like, a way that I think that could be, you know... viewed as racist in today's terms.
Mm-hmm.
Just like terminology that they use, like, oh, you're yeah. a tired little Latin boy. You know yeah. what I mean?
Little Latin boy in drag. Why are you crying?
Things like that. So, yeah. But, you know, again, it's not about it. And Chi-Chi never seems offended.
Well, and I think it's because it's, I want to also, like, think about the difference between straight culture and gay culture.
Yes.
And the difference between, like, gay culture and drag culture
mm-hmm.
and what did that look like in New York in the 90s?
Yeah.
You know, and because, and also there is a difference between people of color, mm-hmm. and specifically like black and brown people of color, mm-hmm. that you and I are never going to be a part of, you
right.
know, like there is a different, and it, you know, there's a code switch and, you know, we can mm-hmm. go into code switching forever, but you know, so I think that there's some of that too, that is just stuff that it's never going to be for us.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But
I think at its heart, like Tu Wong Fu, whereas like Priscilla is more about like that, it's more of a struggle. Like mm-hmm. there's obviously a scene of like very traumatic abuse that Felicia experiences. Mm-hmm. You know, she.
That was another reason why I was like, no spoons for this.
Yeah, she goes in her mm-hmm. drag persona and goes out to this like, I don't know, party or.
It was like a kegger.
I don't even know.
You know, on the beach or something. Like.
In, you know, in full drag, and yeah. they attack her and attempt to, like, they were going to sexually abuse her and rape her.
Yeah.
Until Bernadette and Bob come and, you know, yeah. rescue her in time.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's so much more, like, violent.
Well, because also the scene with. This is something that we said when we were talking yeah. before we started recording, and I was just saying, like, I think the thing that makes Tu Wong Fu, as horrible as it is, what happens to Patrick Swayze's character in Tu Wong mm-hmm. Fu, what makes that less, like, more palatable somehow, or less violent feeling, mm-hmm. is, like, Sheriff Dollard is, like,
He thinks that Vita is a woman.
Vita's a woman. And he is, like, trying to feel her up because she's a woman.
Yeah.
And...
because he's a sexist misogynist. Because
he's a misogynist, and he's awful, and he's gross. But, you know, mm-hmm. and then he gets a shock of his life.
Right.
But it's his own, like, self-hatred and self-loathing and blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't come out in the way that... I mean, and who knows? Had they not knocked him out... who knows what would have happened?
Well, and honestly, that his attacking Vita has nothing to do with Vita. Vita would just happen to be the white woman. He did not want Chi-Chi or Nagzima because he's racist.
Yeah.
But like, you know, it was circumstance.
Yes.
Whereas
and the situation with Felicia mm-hmm. is that they are going to rape her because she's a man in a dress.
Yeah.
It's punishment.
Humiliation,
mm-hmm. and how dare you? And mm-hmm. and that is the part that is just.
It feels more violent.
It feels worse,
even though physically it's, you know, rape is rape.
Yeah,
but like it just feels more.
It feels worse, and also that scene goes way further and is a lot more graphic and is a lot, you know.
Well, and at its heart, like, Tu Wong Fu is a much lighter film.
Yes.
Like, even with this scene of assault, it's light.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it even ends, like, it's almost, like, borderline funny.
It's kind of like the Hairspray of John, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, where, you know, we talked about Hairspray and how it's, like, John Waters' most family-friendly film.
Yeah.
And Tu Wong Fu is, like, the family-friendly version of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, it kind of almost feels like. Even though they're not the same story, it's not the same people.
It's almost making fun of the situation.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Yeah.
Trying to portray it realistically,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then, you know, they come out and they're just, two words, balo.
And like Priscilla, I think too, feels grittier.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying earlier, I was like, you know, even just watching like the scenes of the two side by side, like Priscilla feels older.
Yeah.
It feels like that 70s, like,
right?
you know,
yeah.
kind of grittier, like even the film doesn't feel as clear, you know?
And it could be because that was an independent film.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors,
but
it just has that feel of, like, being older somehow.
Yeah. Or I assume it was an independent film since it was released in Cannes.
Yeah.
Cannes? Mm-hmm. Oh. I've been saying that wrong my whole life.
Well, I mean, yeah, it looks...
the French.
The French.
They just don't pronounce half the letters in their words.
Yeah. But Priscilla, at the end of it all, just feels like a grittier film than Tu Wong Fu. Tu Wong feels very like sequins and sparkle and Hollywood.
Right.
You know?
Priscilla is telling more of a story about the struggle that drag queens encounter and the prejudice and the harm that drag queens have.
Yeah.
Whereas Tu Wong Fu, I feel, is It is celebratory. It is hopeful. It is, and it's joyful.
Yeah. And I think that that is evident in the way that the townspeople react to Noxie, Vita, and Chi-Chi, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the only people that don't like them are the two cis straight white guys.
Right. That, by the way, are harming and oppressing the women of the town.
In the town, yeah.
For their own power.
Exactly.
And they don't like them because they see them as subverting their power.
Yes.
Especially Virgil, who, you know, is obviously, who is abusing his wife, Carol Ann, played by the incredible Stockard Channing.
Forever.
And, you know, these, you know, drag queens come in and, you know, help Carol Ann get the comp to, like, kick him out.
Yeah.
And stand up for herself. And now suddenly he has no power.
Yeah.
Because he had all of it before.
Yeah. Ugh. Yes. And it's like they, instead of coming in and like being oppressed in this town and having to get the F out, right? Mm-hmm. Like they come in and they change the lives of everybody.
Right.
Which is just, and not in that fairy tale way of like, oh, your humdrum little lives are now like fabulous. It's like people fall in love because they finally have the courage.
Right.
You know, people kick out their beating, abusive husbands because they have courage now. And, like, it changes things. And
it just kind of opened, it feels like it opened their eyes a little to, like, possibilities.
I think, and maybe even, like, I don't disagree, and I just want to, like, I'm thinking, like, maybe in a less infantilizing way, like, they knew all these possibilities existed, but it gave them the courage to actually go and do it. Because here are three men in dresses living their lives like this.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can do that, I can do this scary thing.
Right.
Right? And I think it's like, I don't know. That's what it, for me.
Totally. Like, totally.
Red and wild.
I think one of my favorite parts is, so they do the day with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they all get their new, they find the outfits from the 60s in the store. And then at the end, they have the store shop owner person. I always forget his name. They put him in that, like, that yellow suit and give him the book.
Yes.
And, like, I love that
him
so much, because he's just, like, this sweet guy. And he's just getting through this stutter. And, like, Vita, like, just sees this in him. And, like, again, like, it didn't, like, they didn't change who the people were. And it didn't change, like intrinsically who they were and what their motivations were, what they wanted.
Yeah.
It just helped them, like, get a little clarity on how.
Opened the door.
Yes.
It unlocked it, right? Yeah. Like, and that's what I really loved about it.
Like, it gave them the courage to, like, unleash it.
Yeah.
Like, no, we were keeping those in these. I mean, it's just the clothes, even, like, keeping those in boxes. He was going to give them to the Goodwill because they didn't sell back in, like, the 60s or whatever. You know what I mean? And it's just like, these things have, like, these are amazing. These are incredible. Yeah. Like, let's throw some color and, like, you're going to have this strawberry festival. Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're going to have a theme.
Well, we
and
bake
it's
pies
be,
and then we eat the pies.
And then we go home.
Well, we need a theme. Well, what's a theme?
Strawberries are red.
Red. Wild. Well, there's your theme. Red and wild.
I love it.
I love this movie so much. I am a drag queen. Oh, I love the little old lady at the movie theater.
Yes.
A mango.
Want to try Lena Horne?
Can I have my shoe, please?
You're a drag queen? Nothing this pretty could be real.
Oh my God, I love it.
And I love it, like, especially the relationship between Vita and Carol Ann. You know, like, do you, like, ever not cry in this room? But, like, I love at the end, or towards the end, when she says, I know I'm lucky enough to have a lady friend who just so happens to have herself in Adam's apple.
Oh.
And that whole scene, and it's just, it, and I think that shows, like, how, oh God, I can't.
If you haven't watched it, at the end of the film, Vita is about to confess to Carol Ann that she's
a man.
That she's a man in a dress.
Mm-hmm.
That she's a drag queen.
Yeah.
And also, again, reminder, this is the 90s, pre-pronouns.
Yeah.
You know, pre all of this new terminology and understanding that we have now. I mean, it wasn't pre-pronouns. There were still pronouns in the 90s, but you know what I mean.
And most of the townspeople at this point thought that, believed that these were all just women.
Some did, and some knew, and, you know, whatever. And, but, and I think that, but the premise of the story is that, like, everyone just thinks they're women.
Yeah.
And that's why Sheriff Dollard comes into town and is like, these are men, you know?
Boys in dresses.
And in some ways, like, I feel like the whole town was like, yeah, duh, shut up. Like, who, okay, and, you know, and then in other ways, like, what?
Yeah.
But, you know, Vita's about to confess to Carol Ann, like, hey, I'm not what you think. And Carol Ann, as Vita's about to confess, Carol Ann says, Adam's apple. And it's like, what? And she's like, women don't have Adam's apples. Mm-hmm. Only men have Adam's apples. And Vita's, you know, and she cuts Vita off again, and she's like, you know, your quote. That
it was just this beautiful way of accepting Vita in who she is without Vita even having to say it.
Yes.
Like, Vita doesn't have to say who she is. She, Carol Ann, finds a way to tell her, like, I know you, and I see you, and I, you
and
know,
I love you.
Yeah.
And I get choked up thinking about it because it's like, you know, there's this moment earlier in the film where they're driving across country and they drive by Vita's family's home. Mm-hmm. And Vita's mother comes out, comes out and like runs back inside the house, basically, because Vita has been shunned by her family for being who she is. Mm-hmm. And later then, you know, after that, when they see the townspeople come and rally for them, when Sheriff Dollard comes back and is, like, you know, looking for them, and they have this whole, like, I'm a drag queen, can I have my shoe moment during the Strawberry Festival. And then it turns the moment again, right? Because then the three of them are like, what would you do if you had the courage?
Right.
Like, what do you want to do now?
Yeah.
And Vita's thing is, like, I would drive to whatever Pennsylvania or wherever she's from. And she's like,
Bella Kenwood.
Yeah. And I would knock on that door and I would say, like, you know, I don't need your approval. And whatever it is, like, the line that I love is Noxzema just in the background, approval neither desired nor required, you know? Yeah.
But I will take your acceptance.
Your love.
No, acceptance.
Acceptance? Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought it was love.
I only know because I just watched it yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and I was listening to you watch it. Beth was like, I have to finish it. And I
had like 10 minutes
and
left.
I heard it, and I was like, you're literally at the end of the movie.
I know.
But my favorite thing is, like, approval neither desired nor required. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think this is one of those movies that made me.
Yeah.
You know, like, because for better or for worse, I think I've felt that. Like, that that has been, like, a through line of, like, well, whatever. Yeah. Love it or shove it, you know? Like, here's who I am. And I don't think I've, like, really tried to change for other people or tried to, you know.
Yeah. Either they'll accept you or they won't.
Yeah. I am who I am.
Love it.
Unfortunately. Unfortunately for all of you.
But yeah, no, I love it, and I love this movie.
Yeah. I feel like those are the differences, right? Like, Priscilla is the story of overcoming struggle.
Yeah.
And Tu Wong Fu is the story of, like, finding acceptance.
Yeah. Yes. And they're both really, like, beautiful in their own ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. There very few things in films will beat Priscilla, the bus Priscilla, driving across the desert.
Yes.
With Felicia in this giant shoe that they've affixed at the top of the bus with these, like, swaths of silver fabric falling
behind it.
And she's in full Felicia drag.
Yes.
And just in all, just, like, lip syncing to this, like, operatic, you know, song, and it's just one of the most, and I love it. And then at the end, when they're in full drag and they drive, I think it's called, like, Kings Canyon, because that was Felicia's dream.
Yeah,
of, like, that's why she went with Tick to do this, is she wanted to go to this particular, like, canyon location in full drag and hike up to the top.
Yeah.
And there's Bernadette. That's just what this world needs.
It's another cock and a frock on a rock. I think my favorite line from Priscilla, though, is when they, like, break down or whatever, and Bernadette just comes out and is like, oh, Felicia, where the fuck are we?
It's so iconic.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then, like Chuang, like the quotes in Chuang Fu, mm-hmm. the one-liners are just gold.
So good.
Although I do, I could watch the opening scene just over and over and yes. over again. But where is the body? Doom, 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 doom. And then when Wesley Snipes puts on the...
Oh,
the
yeah.
red heels and...
With the feet.
Just giggling.
Yeah.
Love it.
My favorite scene that I could watch over and over is when they are redecorating the hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
And I just love when they, like, throw the sequin, like, fabric over the bed.
And it just lays
And I
perfect.
Think, again, another movie that made me moment. Mm-hmm.
I love a sequin. Oh, my gosh. And every outfit that Noxzema wears is, like, pure 90s gold.
Oh, my God.
Like, stunning. Yeah.
I think just bringing up Noxzema and make me think of Wesley mm-hmm. Snipes and thinking about the actors that portrayed these characters. Mm-hmm. And one thing that they do have in common that, problematic or no, all of the actors playing the three leads in each movie are straight men.
Yeah.
As far as we know. And... it's really interesting because it brings up that question of, like, do you want to be right or do you want this movie to air and to be get made, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, had it not been Patrick Swayze, I don't know Australian film culture, right? So
yeah.
I don't know enough to say, like, if it wasn't Guy Pearce, you know, it was so early in Guy Pearce's career.
Yeah.
That I don't know that you can make that same case of, like, if it wasn't Guy Pearce and
yeah.
Hugo Weaving and Terrence Stamp, like, would the movie have gotten made? Like... maybe, yeah, still.
Yeah.
But the question with, like, you know, at that time in 1995, would Tu Wong Fu have gotten made if it
yeah.
wasn't Patrick Swayze, Wesley Snipes, and John Leguizamo?
Yeah.
I don't know. And John Leguizamo may, at that point in his career, like, who knows, like,
yeah.
if he was as critical, but, like...
But having Patrick Swayze
Patrick
and Wesley Swayze Snipes, that was huge.
And Wesley Snipes?
Yeah.
Playing, you know... drag queens, like, I think that and not only would the movie maybe not have gotten made, I think also it helped change the culture around acceptance of, like,
yeah.
drag.
Well, and where you had these two, like, I mean, Wesley Snipes and Jeff, they were masculine,
both, like, yeah.
like, well,
manly
no,
men.
They were sexy men, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like,
yeah.
to have somebody like that portraying, you know, a drag queen, like, I feel like it, like... like, oh, they're if they're okay with it, then so am I.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was such especially the Wesley Snipes of it. Like, Patrick Swayze,
yeah.
you know, everybody knew, dancer growing up,
yeah.
blah, 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 blah. But, like, but all still, like, very, like, in other roles
yeah.
and in, like, the culture, like, very manly men.
Yes.
You know, Patrick Swayze was always a romantic lead with a female character. Wesley Snipes
mm-hmm.
was, like, Wesley freaking Snipes, you know what I mean? And so... on the one hand, like, yeah, should we give, you know, trans roles to trans people and, you know, gay roles to gay people? And also, how does giving the role to a popular person change the narrative for the country or for the
yeah.
for the world? Like, how does it move the needle?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's just an age-old question that I don't know we'll ever have the answer to.
No. Well, and I hear, like, when I've talked to people within the queer community, I hear different things.
Mm-hmm.
I hear many of them...
Well, because the queer community is not a monolith.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, and many of them have told me, like, well, it's acting. Like,
yeah.
if a straight person or a mm-hmm. cis person wants to play, you know, a drag queen, like, it's acting. They're playing a role. That's the
yeah.
point. But then I hear a lot, it's like, well, there aren't enough roles
yeah.
for mm-hmm. the queer community, particularly trans, drag, things like that. Like,
yeah.
they're like, so are we taking roles away from them because they have, and they have none
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So it's like, I get that it's kind of like layered and nuanced, but then there's also like, should a trans, you know, woman be able to play a cis female role?
Yeah.
Cause I think yes, but
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? So it's like, there's a lot of layers in there and it's, within any, all of the communities.
Yeah.
It's not, there's no answer.
No, I agree.
And it's not for me. It's definitely
It's not for me to decide
answer.
What the right
exactly.
answer is either.
We're but just asking the questions.
But I think, too, there is, and I think there's a question out there lingering in the back of my mind that is, like, what's the difference between, like, blackface and this?
Yeah.
And I think there is a difference, but I don't know what it is, and maybe there's not a difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, you know?
Yeah.
blackface or yellowface or whatever. Like, because, like, the Mickey Rooney thing in Breakfast at Tiffany's, like, we'd never accept that. Well, we do sometimes kind of accept it in a different way. When I think about, like, Emma Stone and Aloha, right? Yeah. Like, we do accept it.
Yeah.
It's not as, you know, it's not like she did put on yellowface and did, like, the Oriental eye makeup and, like, you know, right. all these things and, like, made it offensive.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like we accept it in less, yeah. like we accept like because less of it.
Because it doesn't cross the line quite yeah. as far, is it still crossing a line?
Yeah. It's like we accept less of it, but do we still accept too much of it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't mm-hmm. know. Anyway, but there, you know, I think that we could go on forever and ever about sure. all of these questions.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm talking a lot. So, yeah, we could go on forever about this movie.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we will go on forever yeah. about it. You know, once we're signed off, because yeah. it's one of our favorite movies, I yeah. think, and it's definitely for I can only speak for myself, but it's definitely one of the many movies that mm-hmm. made me who I am.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it impacted me quite as much, mm-hmm. but it still is just
yeah,
it holds a special place. It's one of those movies that I will always watch for the rest yeah. of my life.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And I feel like I do like to rewatch movies a lot, but like not to that extent of, you know, a handful of movies.
Yeah.
So bring it back to the question, like two films around the same time, within a year of each other.
Yeah.
Similar plot lines, but telling two very different stories.
It feels very Volcano / Dante's Peak.
Right? Totally. You know, so, I mean, Priscilla, I think it told a great story, and I love those three.
Mm-hmm.
Bernadette, Mitzi, and Felicia.
God. Oh, Felicia. Where the fuck are we?
But I think for me, like, Tu Wong Fu is, like, the ultimate, like, drag queen movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love yeah. it.
I just, yeah. I mean, it's the one that I saw first. I didn't see Priscilla until I was, like, in my late 20s, early mm-hmm. 30s, you know,
yeah.
maybe even late 30s. I don't know. It was a while ago. But I'm just remembering the apartment that Vincent lived in that time, and he hasn't lived there for a while. Mm-hmm. but you know, so it wasn't as formative
yeah.
for me, like the way that Tu Wong Fu was, seeing it.
Totally.
For, you know, just watching it for years and so many times over and over again. And,
mm-hmm.
and having like a friend group that really loved it.
Yeah.
Always having friends that have always loved that movie, no matter who the friends are.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's been...
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, special shout out to the beautiful drag queens that we saw today at
yes.
the Palm Springs Drag Brunch at the Saguaro.
Yes. It was such a fun show.
Highly recommend it if you're in Palm Springs.
And if you can swing it, highly recommend, like, the diva level seating.
Yes.
Because you get a fan.
You do get a beautiful fan.
And you can go like this.
It's gonna shock a lot of people. Apologies if we scare the pee out of you a little bit.
Sorry for blasting your eardrums out.
But yes, it's super fun. Come with some dollar bills.
Yes.
Because you're gonna want to give them away because the performers are just incredible.
Yeah, it was a great time.
We'll post some pictures.
Be prepared for it to be all bachelorettes.
I know it was a lot of brides there today.
Yes.
But, yeah. but it was a great group.
It was a good,
great
fun show.
People.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Performers were great. Loved it.
So, yeah.
All right. Well,
thanks. As always, don't forget to have thoughts, have opinions, and have questions.
And we will catch you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
But Is It Podcast is produced by Tracy Muller and Beth Hofelt.
The artwork is by Anna Apperson.
And music by Devin Wall.